Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way." The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John, the baptizer, appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Humans are creatures of habit. For the most part, our behaviors are extremely predictable. Turns out we are just as susceptible to the old path of least resistance as the rivers we live beside. How many of you, everybody gets a little nervous, how many of you are sitting in the same exact spot you sat in the last time you were in this room? Yeah, right? How many of you parked your car in the same place you parked it or near last week? Yeah, right? How many of you drove the exact same route here that you've driven for years? I'm the exact same way. As a former preschool teacher, I know that predictable routine makes all the difference when trying to have a fairly smooth and seamless day. Routine brings feelings of great comfort and safety to young children just beginning to learn about the world. And if we're honest, it does the exact same thing for us, doesn't it? And it makes sense. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. These words from Isaiah to the Jewish people in the midst, even nearing the end of some say 70 years of captivity, resonate even for us in our daily foibles and stressors. This time of year, we work very hard to ensure that we will find all the comforts we desire, the things we are used to having at Christmas time. that the right food is available, that the right music helps to set the scene, that all the right people will be gathered together once more around table and tree. We want to hear the words we've always heard, sing the songs we've always sung. We want to encounter God in all the expected ways, the ways we are used to. We are creatures of habit. And when our routine is upset by road construction, by long lines at the checkout, by fussy children in a quiet worship service, or by the local restaurant being out of the kind of pie we are used to having after lunch, by any tiny disruption, our whole day is likely to be thrown off, isn't it? So, here we are, this second Sunday in Advent, the second Sunday of our liturgical year, this new year, and wouldn't you know it, this is the year where we dwell in Mark's gospel. The gospel according to Mark. No lengthy genealogy tracing the roots of Jesus all the way back to Father Abraham like in Matthew. No lengthy birth narrative or the beautiful and challenging words of Mary's song that we find in the Gospel of Luke. Not even the high poetry and mystical theology singing of the cosmic power and presence of Christ as the Word in John's Gospel. Nope. Just the Gospel of Mark. As someone once described it, where you're just dropped smack dab in the middle of the desert and hope for the best. And who, when we're dropped in the midst of that desert, who should we find as our help, as our guide? Here in the beautiful season of Advent, the season of pregnant pauses and preparation, the deep, quiet, blue Advent, the come, O come, Emmanuel, calm before the joyous storm of Christmas. And who should crawl out of the brush, breath stinking of locusts and wild honey, but John the Baptizer? A prophet, if ever there was one, wild-eyed, charismatic, to say the least, drawing crowds from all around, offering a new kind of ritual cleansing, and crying out, just like the herald that other old crazy prophet Isaiah hollered about. John the Baptizer, pointing away from himself, pointing towards something new. John the Baptizer, recognizing his own place in the scheme of things, focuses his attention, his audience's attention, our attention, on the one who is coming, Jesus. And in just a few words, tells us what we must do to be ready to receive him. Repent. Confess and repent. These are disruptive words. Confess. Tell the truth about yourself. Allow yourself to be vulnerable to another person, to God. Let it all hang out. And repent. Literally turn around. Change direction, alter your behavior. In this season of Advent, we are called to wait, to prepare, to keep watch, to stay awake. There is a richness to be had in comfort. There is something to be said about having your expectations met. But even as we seek the calm of candles and crooners, I love those crooners. Oh man, those are my favorite Christmas songs. White Christmas, come on. Bing, you can't beat it. The twinkling of Christmas tree lights, my favorite also. Even as we seek those comforts, we must also allow ourselves to be startled by the words of that wild man down by the river. Confess. Repent. Now, as much as I might wish to be one of those great barn-burning preachers who sets your souls on fire with a new zeal for God and a true desire to completely change your lives, I'm not that guy. I'm not. No one would ever mistake me for John the Baptist. But I am concerned about all those little things. Those tiny little waves, those tiny pivots of repentance that we might do in our daily lives. I often find myself asking these kinds of questions, questions like, what is the smallest thing I might do to alter my behavior, to unsettle my routines, to disrupt my patterns of behavior? What is the smallest thing each of us can do? How might our experience of church change if we sit in a different spot next Sunday? How might our perspective of the day shift if we drive a different way to where we're going? How might our hearts grow if we engage in a longer conversation with the clerk at the grocery store or our neighbor in the street? This week, this month, this season of Advent, I encourage you to take a tiny risk. Now, of course, I would never ask or encourage you to do anything that is unsafe. But maybe just a little uncomfortable. That I might push you to do. I encourage you to shift ever so slightly and see what life might be like if you shake things up just a little bit. How might God surprise you? How might Christmas come alive in a new way for you? It might not seem like much, but just one move to the left when you're used to going right can make all the difference in the world. And these days, this world we live in could use every little difference it can get. Amen.
On Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry. Your health restore and may